Thank you, and again, welcome to the Sunday school service. Let's get started here. Philippians 4, 5. Remember, it's amazing how short the verse is, and in that short verse, it has two sentences. If you notice, he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Period, right? And we talked about an unforgiving spirit last week. But then he turns it right away and says, the Lord is at hand. It's a totally different subject than what he was. In that same little verse, you notice it, let your moderation be known unto all men, period. And then he changes the subject to the Lord is at hand. Paul now warns us of, or he tells us to beware of an unexpected spirit. Okay? And so let's go to Matthew. Verses 37 through 39. Paul tells us here, the Lord is at hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Father, I was hearing John the other day witnessing to somebody, letting him know that the Lord's return is very soon. And we might scratch our head when we think, well, we've been saying that the Lord's coming soon and he hasn't come. But Lord, you will come in your timing when you know that everything's ready. And so help us, Lord, to understand not to give hope because you told us to wait. And as we were in the message last week saying, the Lord tells us go, gives us a green light. The Lord tells us wait, and we have to wait. And then he says sometimes no. So, Lord, one thing is for sure, you're coming, and all of us that have accepted you will be taken home forever, Lord. And thank you for that. Father, bless this Sunday school lesson. Open our hearts and mind so that we can absorb what you have to say to us this morning. Guide us through your Holy Spirit and through your word, Lord, and we plead the blood of Christ. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen. Amen. Matthew says, the Lord is at hand. And so now we go to Matthew 24, 37 and 39. Bear with me. I don't know if it's the weather, but my vision. It says here, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We need to acknowledge, okay, the fact that our Father may be coming any moment now. And so we need to be prepared as he's coming right now. Okay? Make sure you're ready. Okay? But we also need to be prepared for the long haul. The thing is that the Lord is coming and we don't know when. But for us that know the Lord, it'll be a blessing It will be a blessing when we go home to be with him forever. And you know what? I enjoy the choir, the people singing the instrument. I enjoy especially when we sing as a congregation, because I get in there and nobody knows whose squeaking voice is coming out, but I enjoy singing. I enjoy the choir because everything we sing, it's about him. We glorify him and we thank him, and I know that the angels and God are watching us, thanking us for what we're doing here. My voice will change and I'll be singing with the angels. I will be singing with God's people forever. There's something about singing that, can you imagine coming to church without no songs? It'd be boring, and there's something about singing that uplifts us. And so we need to acknowledge that the Lord is coming. This is what Paul said. The Lord is at hand. At any moment, he might come. We don't know, but he's coming. Some might wonder if the promise to return for us is really going to be fulfilled. After all, didn't he say he would come back quickly? And we have to be very careful about this word quickly, okay? Let's go to, remember the words of Peter when he said, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord..." Forgive me. One thing. Let me start all over. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Here, it's not talking about the duration of 1,000. Yeah, for the Lord, one day could be 1,000. That's why a lot of people say when the creation was created, we don't know if one day was 1,000 for the Lord, or if it was just 24 hours. We don't know, but it's not talking about the duration of a thing here. Let's go now to Revelations 12 and 14. Revelations 12 through 14. "And behold, I come," what's that word? Quickly. Quickly means now, right away, okay? "And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, those that have accepted Christ, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." And then verse 20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come," how soon? "Quickly." Okay, and we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful. It's not here, he's not talking about the duration, but when it happens. Yes, it's taking a long time because the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Okay, so let's go to 2 Corinthians and let's define this word quickly. When he does come. 2 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Are we there? Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Are we all on the same page now? Okay. Listen to what it's saying. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. And this is what it's talking about quickly. In a twinkling of an eye, you just blink right now. How long did it take? Not even a millisecond. When you blink, this is what he's talking. It's not talking about duration. He said he was going to come. No, but when he comes, it'll be in a blink of an eye. This is what we need to be careful when we read the Bible. If we don't understand, you know what? That Google has done a lot for me. I've used the phone, and it has given me a lot of information. And when I can't find answers, I'll look for brothers that can guide me there, because I want to make sure that I am giving you the right material so that you can take it with you and explain to people when they tell you, when? Oh, no, it's not about the duration. It's about when he comes, boom. And all of a sudden, can you imagine we're here? And what a better place for the Lord to come than us being in church. That to me, when we're singing, when we're just having fellowship, and all of a sudden the Lord came, boom. And you know what? There'll be a lot of piles of clothes left behind. Can you imagine? My shoes, I'm right here. My shoes, my pants, my shirt, my jacket, my prosthesis will be right there. My hearing aid will be right there. My glasses and even my dentures will be right there. What happened to you? I'll be gone and so will you. Isn't that amazing? In a split second. That's what it says. I come quickly when it happens. Remember, they were drinking and having parties in the day of Noah. Everything was going, the economy was going good. And it wasn't raining or nothing, because it didn't rain back in those days. But all of a sudden, the sky got pitch black, purple with those clouds, and the wind started blowing. It was like a hurricane wind. And the Bible says that not only was it raining, I mean, it just started pouring, like if they opened the gates of the dam, of the Hoover Dam, and it just coming down from heaven. And if you read carefully in Genesis, the Bible says that the water gushed out from the earth. So it was raining from top to bottom and from bottom to top. And they had no chance. It got them. Well, let's go run. They weren't expecting it. But you know what the Lord has warned us time after time? And there's people you see, earlier that same chapter, the apostle addresses this question as he's returned. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that the word of God, by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water, and in the water whereby the world that then was being overflowed, talking about the flood, with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. it's not going to rain. It's going to be hellfire when the Lord comes. It's going to be, there's certain things when we are taken up to heaven and the tribulation comes, it's going to be hell on earth for them. It's going to be hell on earth. And it's amazing how even in the tribulation, God will leave 44,000 to preach the word of God. Isn't that something? That's God's mercy. And they will be saved, but it's right now we're living by grace, by faith. When the tribulation hits, it's going to be hell on earth. And many will be beheaded because they have accepted Christ. That's another subject. Let me get back to where I'm supposed to be. But it's interesting how the Lord, when you're studying, he takes you here, there, but the Lord says, okay, bring it back to where you're supposed to go. So the fact that man scoffs at the return of Christ is clearly an indication that the Bible is true, because the Bible predicts this attitude in the last days. And we see it. We tell them that the Lord's coming, and they look at you like, that's what they would say. I mean, 120 years. And in that those days, people didn't travel far. The population wasn't as big as it is now. And so for 120 years, Noah would get out there and preach, and then built the ark. How did he get those beams up there? Well, he used elephants, he used giraffes, but he built it, and it took 120 years. And at the end of the day, he was tired, and he would go and preach, repent, for the Lord is at hand. He's coming. Oh, you've been telling us that. And you know what they would do? They would even probably make popcorn and say, come on, let's go look at the dummy over there. He building an ark in the middle of the Phoenix in the desert. And they would laugh at him. And he would preach, and violence started going up, and crime and everything. But he would preach. And the second he stepped into that ark and the door was shut, and they would say, open the door, we believe now. It's too late. It's too late. When the Lord comes, you and I have can't worry, but those that are left behind have everything to worry for. Okay. But they do that. They make fun of us. Mark 13, 32 to 33, and then 35 and 37. Mark 13, 32 to 33. And I'm going to try to read it there. Mark 13, 32 to 33, and then 35 and 37. It says, But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crow, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Let us walk as Christians with our eyes focused on Christ. He's coming. Witness to people. I like the way, you know what, I've witnessed to people, you know what, you need to repent and all that. But very seldomly, and this is me, I hardly tell them, you know what, the Lord is coming. And maybe it's me that I'm afraid of, they're going to laugh at me. And sometimes we do that, but I'm to be very careful. And let me see if I have time. 1 Thessalonians, and write it down. I don't know if I'll have time to read this, but 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 speaks also of that. And if I have time, I'll come back to it, but right now I need to keep on going. Let's go to Revelations 3:10. And I don't know, Revelations 3:10. Speaking to us that have received the Lord. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. Guess what he's talking about? The rapture, the tribulation. But because you and I have accepted Christ, when the rapture comes, you and I will have missed the tribulation. We won't be there. And the tribulation is going to try those that are left behind. Okay? Let's go quickly to 1 Thessalonians, if somebody can read that, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, with a loud voice. If you find it, just stand up and read it with a loud voice, because it has to do with this. He has not appointed us to that day. Talking about when the Lord comes, he has not appointed us to rest, because we have believed in him. And when the rapture hits, in Thessalonians, speaks about that, be not ignorant, brothers, concerning the Lord's coming, right? Because the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up. They're talking about the rapture. Okay? The coming of the Lord is... That's not the coming of the Lord. That's a rapture when God moves us. The coming of the Lord will be after the tribulation. And then the Lord will come. But notice that the Lord in the rapture doesn't come down. No, we go up. He takes us. And all of our clothes are down there and we are praising the Lord. Yeah. At the end of the tribulation, the Lord comes not as a little baby, not as a lamb, not as a crucified God, but as a Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's coming to judge those that rejected him. And it'll be terrible. It'll be terrible to face the Creator, the Lord of Lords, without the blood of Christ. How sad. How sad. So there was a young man. I'm going to finish with this illustration. There was a young man that was in high school for his freshman year. He liked to play football. It reminds me of my little town. Everybody played football, okay? And whether it was Sunday, they had TVs outside. Everything was about football. Whether it was mostly with the Cowboys, because we were in Texas, and then there was other that had other teams, and we would go boo on purpose. But no, everybody was into it. This young man was in high school as a freshman, and as he finished his freshman year, just about to finish, football was over, and he was inside the study hall with others. And you know how in study hall they're talking and messing around. And all of a sudden, the doors open, and I'm going to be over here with that son. All of a sudden, the doors open, and it's a varsity coach that walks in there, and everything got deadly quiet. Coach. And the coach walked to where that young man was sitting, and he said, "That coach was the meanest coach I've ever met." He He said, even when we would win a game, he wouldn't even smile. That coach wore an old saggy gray sweatshirt and football pants and referee black shoes. And he had a crew cut, and you could see the bald spot back here. Just like, remember that show, Sergeant Carter? Sergeant Carter, Gomer Pyle. And surprise, surprise, surprise. And so everybody was quiet, and he walks up to the desk of this young man, and he drops a letter with his name and turns around and walks out the door. Well, he was eager. As soon as the coach left, again, they started talking, and he was so eager to see what was in there. And so he opens the letter. Invited inside was a invitation inviting him as a sophomore next year to be on the varsity team. That was a big thing. Usually sophomore would play with the sophomore or at the biggest, they would play at junior varsity, but not sophomore was very rare for him to play in the varsity team. So when next year came, he started, and then he found out that not only him, there was others that were freshmen that had made the team. That was very rare, but they did make the team. And so they started early lifting weights, getting in shape, pumping iron, and exercising and all that. When the time came and practice, he found out that sophomores weren't very popular with the seniors. And they would give him a hard time. He said sometimes they would hide their shoulder pads or still would tie their shoes together so that they'd be laid out for practice so that the coach would kick them out. But they would do everything, and sometimes when they would come back to the locker room, the seniors would start playing towel fights. And if you were in high school, and remember, you either hit somebody, somebody would hit you, it just pop. And so he said, and sometimes they would even go and lock the door at the bathroom. They would lock us at the bathroom, give us a hard time. And I would try to avoid them in the dressing room, but when they would corner me, I would stand up for them, up to them, and say, you know what? You guys might be bullying me, but you know what? He said, you guys are seniors, and this Friday, no matter what, more, because you're already the team. But me as a sophomore, if I react because you want me to fight with you, and so that if the coach comes in and sees me, he'll probably bench me this Friday or maybe kick me out of the team. So it doesn't matter how much you try, I am not giving up. See, I am trying to please the one that chose me to be on this team. And so Paul had a similar thought in 2 Timothy 2:4. Everything's moving here. 2 Timothy 2:4. And Paul said the same thing. No man that warreth entangled as himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Too often, as God's people, we get our eyes off of pleasing God and on all the petty little problems with the people around us. My mom used to tell me, you guys drawn in a glass of water. We had a little problem. We cried for everything. You guys drawn in a glass of water, shake it off and do what you're supposed to. But you know what? The Lord has chosen you and me to be on his team. And when we as God's people here, okay, guess what the team he's put us is in the context of the church members here. We are in one team, and we are to serve the one that chose us. To serve. There's fighting arguments among when there's fighting arguments among each other, guess what? The team is going to lose. But when we hit the problems that are going on and we take care of what's supposed to be, then we are about to win for the one that has chosen us to be on his team. And it finishes with this. I am over 2 minutes. The Lord is at hand. When the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, as you say, you come quickly and you haven't come, so the world, and sometimes we even as Christians might be asking, well, Lord, you haven't come, but it's not about the duration, it's when you come, Lord. It'll be so quick in a twinkling of an eye and we shall be home, Lord. So let us walk as a team together here at Harvest Baptist. And let us praise your name, Lord, that others may see what you have done in our lives, that we may say the Lord is at hand, repent, because you know not when the day or the hour will be. But for sure, as Noah's days were, you came, Father, and so you will come for us. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we ask and thank you. Amen.